Okay, let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for once again we can come together to study your word. And we pray that every time we come, we can learn from your word how to really live our lives, how to see life with all its challenges and its problems. And we pray that truth will guide us. We pray that you will constantly help us to also increase our faith, that we may apply your word to our life. So bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, come. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7 once again. We're going to move on to 8 today. But let's go back to 7 first. Do you come from upstairs? Okay, is Lorraine coming down? They're not done yet, huh? Okay. Yeah, so let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7. And last week we were talking about this whole idea of a heartfelt search for wisdom. And this was something that Solomon had. Now he really wanted to find wisdom, but along the way he realized that it was not easy to have this wisdom. Okay, and so in verse 23, all this I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, and it was far from me. And you know, it's not easy to find the kind of depth of wisdom in life. Then in verse 25, he says, I applied my heart to know and search out wisdom, the reason of things. Okay? And so in verse 26, I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets. Now, along the way, as he sought for wisdom, he began to see observations of life. And as he observed life, he find that, you know, he began to react to it. There's a sense of bitterness. And obviously, this is with reference to a woman that maybe he experienced for himself, how this woman, you know, there are snares, constantly scheming. And, you know, it was a very, very bitter pill for him to take. But then he began to find further, as he thought further, as he began to piece one thing to another, right? Adding one thing to another, I found out the reason. And so this time he did not just focus on the lady, he began to piece two things together, men and women, right? Men, okay, among 1,000 men, he can find one righteous man. Then out of 1,000 women, he cannot even find one. Okay, but basically what he's trying to do is that he's trying to piece things together, right? Comparing things to, you know, with things. And as he tried to piece things together, he ends up with a truth. Truly, this only I have found, that God made men upright and they have sought out many schemes. And, he, you know, he ended up with truth. See, that's how we want to also look at life. Sometimes, so during the week, we were having dinners with the more senior ladies. This is a time when you can say senior ladies and don't feel bad about it. No? When you reach 50-something, 60-something, the word senior, wow, very, very, very sensitive. So now still okay lah. Right? And we were discussing about death. One of the things that they were talking about is that along the way, whether it's with reference to their job, with reference to friends or people that they have come across, where they die very young. And, you know, it's something that they were, you know, trying to grapple with why life is such. Someone was sharing about how there was this lady who found out that she has brain cancer and it was a very aggressive form. And within a month or so, the person passed away. And it was very tough. And so we can grapple with the things of life, but let's not stop there. Let's take the time to to compare Scripture with Scripture. For us, it's about comparing Scripture. As we look at Scripture, as we look at life, we end with truth at the end of the day. We want to not end with the bitterness or with the problems of life and feel bitter about it or become, respond in the wrong way. But we want to end up with truth at the end of the day. And he ended up with truth that he was able to see that God made man righteous, but then along the way, because of sin, men continue to scheme today. Right? So he ended up with truth. And that's something that we want to have. As we look at life, as we grow older, as we observe things in life, we want to be able to respond correctly. We don't want to end up with bitterness. We don't want to end up with a wrong approach of life. We want to be able to compare Scripture with Scripture. Yeah. We want to compare Scripture with Scripture. We want to be able to ascertain at the end of the day truth. Because that's what God wants us to have. And in the Bible, you can see this tremendous wealth of understandings, wisdom and spiritual understanding, but you've got to piece them all together. They are all over the Scripture. And sometimes when we become fixated with one idea, we don't see the big picture. And constantly we must see the big picture. Right? So towards the end, he's able to see, well, the truth, a bigger picture, right? Now, why am I reviewing this? Because the next part, it's about interpreting, right? In verse chapter 8 and in verse 1, who is like a wise man and who knows the interpretation of a thing? Now, okay, he begins. So now we're moving on to chapter 8, and chapter 8 begins with two rhetorical questions. Right? Who is like a wise man? In other words, what constitutes a wise man? What constitutes a wise man? And so Solomon had been raising up the issue of wisdom. He has been raising up this idea of wisdom quite a bit. Now, let's go back a bit. Let's review Ecclesiastes. And let's take a look at this idea of wisdom a bit. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 26. And it talks about how in verse 26, okay, he says, "For God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to a man who is good in his sight." Okay? And that's something that is important for us to take note. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Okay, now let's turn to 4 and verse 13. And 4 and verse 13. Better a poor, wise youth than an old and foolish king who will not be admonished no more. So here is a poor and wise youth who is constantly learning. He's wise because he keeps learning. Whereas the comparison is to a king who can no longer be corrected, cannot be taught, like they always say, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks, right? And so the challenge is always to keep learning. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1, walk prudently in the house of the Lord. Be careful what we say as we come into the house of the Lord. Don't be rash with our mouth. Don't make vows to God hastily, right? This morning, we had a gathering for the crash ministry for all the parents to come, and Pastor taught from 1 Samuel 1 about Hannah and how she made a vow before God. And she kept that vow. She said, I will dedicate my son. And she raised the child 3-4 years, dedicate to the child for the rest of his life. She's not going to be with a child. She's going to be in the tabernacle. And you know what? That is her vow. And Pastor was challenging all the parents. Are you willing to dedicate your son, your child, to the Lord? Wow. That was a big challenge to all the parents. Don't be hasty to make a vow. Okay? But you made a vow, then keep it. 7 verse 12. Wisdom is a defense. how wisdom is there as a defense for us. Okay? As money is a defense. Verse 7, verse 19. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of a city. Okay? All you need is one man to rule the city. If he's wise, you don't need additional people. Another 10 rulers of a city. And 7:23, we learned that, you know, it's not easy to find wisdom. Now, we come to the next part where it talks about who knows an interpretation of a thing. Okay? Now, again, we talk about objective interpretation and subjective interpretation. And one thing we have, as we studied the book of Ecclesiastes, is that there are times where he's objective in his interpretation, but there are times when he doesn't have full understanding, his interpretation tends to be subjective. Right? Okay? Subjective interpretation, some negative views of life, seeing all things as vain and futile, seeing life from a standpoint of death, life without focus on the hope of eternity with God, and then having a very dismal interpretation of life. Right? The first two chapters, wow, it's very dismal. He hated life. Right? Very dismal, very negative. Okay? To me, that is a subjective interpretation of life. But there are times also he has positive views of life. Negative view. Now, today, Pastor was sharing about this guy by the name of Malavari. I don't know whether you all remember this. Very tall of all the Indian guys who came, the pastors who, in training, pastors who came over. There's this guy who is very tall with a mustache. You all remember him? His name is Malavari. He came with the group with Stephen James and all the others. Now, Stephen James was someone who was at the same time with Malavari. And, okay, this guy, he had all the potential, all the good things that will make him a very good pastor one day. He was tall, dark. Literally, he was the tallest. Well, I wouldn't say he was handsome, but okay lah. Yeah, so tall, dark, and he could speak English very well. He was willing to learn at that point of time. He was able to communicate. And you know, when he first came over, and the second time, we saw, wow, maybe this guy can be a good pastor one day. But then along the way, he started deviating. He started doing his own thing. He didn't follow through with the things that pastor told him to do. And then he became sick. And you know, at the age of 58, he passed away during this week, on Wednesday. And apparently he died of. He didn't want to eat. He was so depressed with life. And he just died. See? When you have a very subjective view, you can be a Christian too, but you know, if you have a very subjective view of life, and life is very dismal, life can just end like that. Right? And so we don't want to have a subjective view of life. We want to have a very objective view of life. And it's a very important lesson because very often when you all go through life, when you look at life, it's the way you interpret things. It's how a person interprets. If you interpret it wrongly, you end up with a very dismal perspective of life. You interpret it correctly, then things will be very different. Okay? To me, it is a very important point that I want to make. Okay? Even as we study the chapter 8. It's how you interpret things. Very often, during the week, there were these few articles about depression. How in 1 in 4 person in Singapore has depressive tendency or something like that. There was an article. I don't know whether you all read it. 1 in 4 Singaporeans. That's very interesting. Okay? And the challenge is very often is how you interpret things. It's how you see things. And sometimes the way we interpret, it's done with maybe not full understanding. Maybe it's done with a very negative view of life. It's the way you want to see things. Can you see that? But the moment you see it correctly, so there are times when Solomon's perspective, his interpretation of them was very positive. Like, for example, he was learning to rejoice in the fruit of his labor. Okay? Making some wise principles in life. Like, for example, fearing God. Right? There are paradoxes of life. And yet, we can still fear the Lord and escape this or these things. So there were times when he was objective in his interpretation of things, and there are times when he had insufficient understanding. He made a very subjective interpretation of things in life. So how do we know? How do we know that when we make an interpretation of life, it is correct? When we make a wise interpretation of life, it is correct. How do we know that it is a right interpretation? Anybody? Today we won't go into groups. Seal is not here, but we need to end early because we're going to celebrate birthdays later. So we got to go down 2:40 to about 2:40. We got to make our way down. Okay? So how? How do you know that your interpretation of a situation in life, even the scripture, even things that we go through, how do we see these things? How do you know that it's a right thing? Very often. How do you know? Anyway? Huh? So, okay, you're saying it's a universal truth, lah. Okay. Okay. You can repeat. It's okay. Just get on.
Yeah, and that is because God's word in itself is defined as like truth, and God's word is consistent, lah.
Okay, God's word is consistent. God's truth. But how you know it's the right interpretation? Because you can also end up with a wrong interpretation of God's word, right?
Then it won't be consistent, right? If it's a wrong interpretation.
Okay, yeah. But how do you know? How do you know that you're not wrong? What you're saying is a universal truth throughout the scripture, lah. That's what you're trying to say, right? It is consistent throughout the scripture, lah.
I mean, truth is consistent. Like, truth will always be consistent. Because if it's not consistent, then it's not the truth.
Okay, so what's your basis of the truth?
So, if let's say I were to look at something in the world, right, then my basis of truth is God's word. Yeah. And my interpretation of God's word, how I know it is accurate or the truth, is when I look at other parts of scripture and that it is truth, lah.
Yeah, lah. So in other words, what I'm saying is the universal truth is from the scripture, lah. Yeah. No, so because you can say, okay, this is a truth in life. But if the truth in life, if it's not consistent, I mean, so the truth in life to me, the source has to be the scripture, lah, correct? Yeah. So then when we experience it, when we see it in life, yeah, then it will be consistent with the scripture. That's what you're trying to say, lah, right? It's consistent with the scriptures as you see it in life. Okay. We understand that. But how do you know that what you come up with is truth? that you have a right approach to it. How do you know that it is something that will, that is a wise thing? That is a wise conclusion. Yes, Beth, what do you think? You're not wrong, you're not wrong. I'm just getting you all to analyze a bit more how this works.
Check with a wiser person.
Okay, check with a wiser person. What is you? A wiser person is not around. You're somewhere in Timbuktu, or you know, and then you need to understand something. Then how? There's no wiser person there.
But I feel like you
except
can,
the chimpanzees and the.
I feel like you can kind of tell whether you're on the right track based on like the result of like a choice or something.
Yeah. So what's the result? What is the result? What is the result? When you have a right interpretation at a point of time, what comes? Okay, you're wrong. You're right. Absolutely. And we was waiting someone to say you're failed. But what does that mean? His face will shine. What does that mean? That his face will shine. Huh? Okay, hope. But what's causing his face to shine? Shine goes with? Huh? Joy? Okay, joy. Yeah. Just say.
The joy of enlightenment.
Enlightenment. You're right. Light. So when you have a right interpretation, light will come. Right? If you have a wrong interpretation, there will not be light. That's what Solomon ended up with. When he had a subjective interpretation, there wasn't light. That's why he became dismal. He became upset. He became down. There's no light. When you have a right interpretation, there will come enlightenment. There will come light. Light fills the heart, mind, and spirit. And that shines true in your heart. Can you see that? So who has the right interpretation? Right? That's what he's trying to say. A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. See, when you have a right interpretation of things, it will change the way you look, the way you look at life, the way you hold yourself. Right? When a man gains wisdom, it affects his face. He interprets things, his face will shine. Right? Joy will come, hope will come. His facial disposition will change for the better. Now, to me, this is one of those verses that I embody, okay? When I was young, I was very, very stern. I was very fierce. Right? I think you're too young then, or not even born. But I used to be very, very, very fierce. I used to be a person who is very moody and brooding half the time over small little things. That was what I was. That's my natural disposition in life. And so, I still remember once, I used to take a GP tuition under Pastor Charlie. Yeah. You know, now you think it's a scary thought, right? But to me, it wasn't. So, I mean, okay, he wants to give me tuition. Because, yeah, so he wanted to relate to Pastor Mark and I. So we all went to his, and then he said, okay, let's read from the newspaper. So he took out the opinion part in the newspaper, and then he started reading and tried to analyze things along the way. But I realized that during the time that we had, he didn't actually teach very much. He was just trying to build a sense of bond. Then, like, for example, we were learning how to drive then. He got his new car, and then he said, okay, let's go driving. Tuition, whoa, best. GP. Go driving with him. So he said, do you all know how to drive? He said, yeah, we're all taking lessons. He said, yeah, okay, you just... So I drove his car. Then he taught us along the way, you know, in the estate, Seletar Hills Estate, not the main road. Okay, drove. Then he was teaching us how to, you know, drive and then go as close to the left side. You know, because you got to aga, right? So he was telling us the line along the road, the pavement, you must cut into the center of the bonnet. I still remember that. I didn't remember anything he taught, but only I can remember that. And after that, we asked him. I still remember I asked him, what if we crash your car? Or it's a new car. You just got it that day. He said, Mitch, you know, money is not everything. Car is not everything. Friendship is everything. Wow, he taught us that lesson. Wow. This kind of friend, very good. Can borrow his car next time. Yeah. And you know, so... And then one day, during tuition, he said, you know, you all should smile more. Because we're all very brooding. Brooding half the time, never smile. And he said, y'all should learn how to smile. And that taught me how to smile. I decided, okay, let's start smiling a bit more. But then I realized that life is tough. It's not easy as you go through life. And then there were many reasons why you shouldn't smile. But then through the years, as light fills my heart, my mind, my spirit, so much more, after these 30 years that I've gone through, I find that there's every reason to smile. There's every reason to just rejoice in the Lord and in everything that we have. I think my life, have you seen me brood before? No, right? Every time you come, I'm always smiling, right? Yanning, am I smiling all the time? Most of the time? Yeah. Most of the time, right? You don't see me. Right? Why? It's because I've learned through the years to fill my heart and my mind with the light from the scriptures. And I began to interpret life not from my own standpoint of things, based on my own understanding, but on the standpoint of truth. And when I began to interpret things from a standpoint of truth, My life is filled with so much more light. And because it's so much more light, my life is not dependent on circumstances. You see, perhaps you're at this stage, perhaps circumstances still affects you a lot. And I understand that. You know, it was a stage that I went through. We all go through that. But at my stage now, I've come to a stage where I don't allow the circumstances of life to affect the way I see things. I see things from the point of Scripture. I interpret things from the standpoint of Scripture and truth. And I just fill my heart and my life with so much more light. And because I do that, I have every reason to smile. I have every reason to rejoice. And my sternness on my face changed. Literally changed through the years. I can be very fierce, but I choose not to. I can be very, fierce about things, but I don't want to. I choose not to. I choose to shine for the Lord. I choose to shine with light from the scriptures. And He has made my life so much more joyful. Really. Right? So during the week, we were talking about death, and I was just telling them, you know, when I was 26, I went for so many funerals. You go to the funeral, after that, you feel so depressed. here is a fellow pilot, and you know, he was your good friend. We were together in flying training school, and then one day he just dies because of a, you know, crash. Wow, it's such a very dismal thing in life to see that and you experience that. But then along the way, you learn that these are the harsh realities of life, and that you these things should affect you in some ways, but it should not overwhelm you. It should not cripple you. It should not cause you to, I cannot function anymore. I'm so upset with life. Like, okay, for example, this person, Malavar, he's so upset with life, he's so depressed, he cannot function, he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't want to do anything, and then he just dies like that. No, we shouldn't. So a lot has to do with the way you interpret life, the way you interpret things. I hope this will be a lesson that will help you see beyond things when you go through things in life. And sometimes depressive thoughts will come, but you can change it by bringing truth, by bringing light from the scriptures. And when you interpret it correctly, your face will still shine despite all that you go through. Can you see this? Okay, let's stop for a while. What do you think? What do you think, Beth? Am I right? Am I wrong? Where's the mic? Yeah. Do you agree? Disagree? Say something.
I agree.
Anything else you want to add? Or just raise. I mean, it's good. Raise the questions. I mean, you find that, okay, maybe it's not so straightforward. Raise the question. It wasn't straightforward for me. Okay, I tell you first. It wasn't straightforward. It took me many years to learn this very important lesson. And there's a lot of wisdom in this. In fact, a lot of things, if we only can simplify it into just one wise saying like that, it seemed like it's so simple, but it's not. I had to struggle through a lot of things just to reach a certain age. But the truth is there. At the end of the day, it's light. But it's how you overcome these things. How do you settle things? You see, one of the things I've learned for myself is I come across something that I really, really find very challenging. I have to settle things within my heart. That's one of the things I did. If I find that, okay, this is something that I have to learn to live with, okay, I settle within my heart. And once I settled it, I move on. I don't pout about it. I don't focus on it. I move on and I carry on. Last time I found it very hard to rejoice in other people's success or commendation or whatever. You know, I find it very hard last time when I was younger. But then along the way I realized actually that can be another secondary source of joy. And I find, as I learn to rejoice with someone came up to me just now and was talking about, you know, about, okay, having another child, or there's this development about the child, and I rejoice with the person. You know, you learn to rejoice with the person, and that becomes a very special sense of joy in my life. So you learn to go beyond just yourself. You learn how to rejoice with others, right? And when the child does well, great. So like Asher is, okay, now in university in London, happy for him. Ashley is study law, and you know, I'm thankful for the Lord. And Ashton is asked me in the middle of Wednesday, early morning at 5-something, ask me a question about, you know, Gopa, what do you think of you know, genetic modification or special needs baby, this child, okay, the doctors predict this is going to be a special needs child. Would you change, take out, what was it? There's something that you can modify. Huh? Gene edit, yeah. What is it that you edit?
The genetic.
Oh, gene edit, yeah. Okay. Gene edit. But how you know? Okay, what part do you cut?
Okay, I want the side, must ask the
Yeah, I want to know what is the part you cut. I know it's gene edit, lah, but what's the part that you cut? Which part to cut, which part to add in. Yeah. So you're asking me, would you do it? Yes or no? I say, well, you got to see the picture, but you must answer the question. You see, he's trying to paint me into a corner. He's very, very cunning as well. Give me some time, I'll answer you. So I gave him an answer. You know, how God, from the very beginning, when men sin, men have defective bodies, and I explained to him. And then along the way, you know, in John, here is a blind man. You know, he was born blind, and then how it is to the glory of God. And, you know, one of our special needs, you know, ladies who's here, and when we taught her, wow, she was so enlightened, and she became to know the Lord because of that. And then I quoted from Romans 8, verse 28, and Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10, you know, how God worked all things for our good in the end, right? Somehow things can come out in a certain way, but God will work. Then ask him, which is better? You choose what is better, or you let God do what is better? He never answered. I'm going to meet up with him later and ask him. Right? You know, and to me, at the end of the day, it's light. It's light that will enlighten us. You ask me what is the most important thing that I have come to really appreciate about being a Christian. Is this light that I have in the Lord Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in the Scriptures, in God, is the light that I have that enlightens my darkness. And that causes me to shine through all that I do. You understand where I'm coming from? Okay, any questions you want to ask? Tisha, how? What do you think?
I get the part about like having light, then you will know that you have the wise approach. But then how do you know that the light is coming to you?
How do you know the light is coming?
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you are enlightened.
Yeah, but before that, how do I know whether that decision I'm gonna make is gonna make me be enlightened?
So that's why you gotta compare. That's why the interpretation part is very important. How you interpret things. And the light comes when you interpret it with Scripture. So Scripture has to be interpreted by Scripture. Right? That's one of the ways. So, for example, during the week, we talked about death, right? We had dinner, we talked about death. Notice all that I used were all from the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Right? We compared things. We compared, you know, from Ecclesiastes. We compared from different passages. Then along the way, we pull them all together. Then we look, ascertain what is the truth. Mm. I explained to you all about what the harsh reality of life is and how these things can happen. And then, of course, also Ecclesiastes talks about the paradoxes of life, that a righteous man can also die young.
Yeah.
Right? So there's some observations of life and along the way, how we want to respond to these things. So light comes is when your heart, your mind is enlightened somehow, to see something that is very, very new, very different from the way you... But you have to verify it. Because your enlightenment can also be wrong. Okay, let's turn to... to Proverbs for a while. So, okay, we still have to do our part. We got to search for understanding. We have to search for wisdom. So in chapter 2, we read, how do you find wisdom? If you receive my words, treasure my commands within you. So first things first, do you receive what you are learning? Right? Do you treasure what you are learning? Right? Are you inclining your ear to wisdom? Are you applying your heart to understanding? So before true understanding come when you know, on your own, you need to apply the Scriptures to your life first. Because truth is never learned or understood by just mere figuring things out with the mind. You have to apply it to your life. And as you apply in your life, you see the truth of the of the truth. You see the truth of the truth. You understand? And that can only be seen if you apply it to your life. You apply it to your heart. You cry out for it. Okay, then after that, you cry out, Lord, I really need to understand. You know? And the extent of how you want to cry and weep and whatever you want to do before God to look for this understanding in prayer. You know, every week I weep before God in prayer. Do you know that? Every week I cry out to God because I realize I'm a blind man when it comes to scriptures. I can't see. I need Him to reveal things to me, to help me see things that I've never seen before. My usual prayer is from Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word. Do not hide your commandments from me. Right? Make me to understand the way of your commandments. Make me. What would make me understand these things? Lord, make me. What does it take? Then make me to walk in the ways of your commandments. Make me. Every week I make this prayer. Sometimes I do it with tears. If you were to seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, for His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Ah. First, are you willing to seek for it? Are you willing to apply it? Are you willing to cry out for it? Are you willing to search her for silver and for... You see, we all work so hard. What are we seeking for? Promotion, more money, more you know, commendation, promotion. We're all seeking all these things, but are we really seeking after wisdom? Are we really seeking after light? If you were put in this kind of effort, then you will understand. Then you will see. Then you will be able to understand. So from Proverbs 2, verse 7 to 8, 11, you see, then you will know the fear of the Lord, you will experience the Lord's protection, there's understanding of righteousness, justice, equity, every good path. Wisdom is pleasant to the soul. Discernment will preserve you. You see? Then all the things will come. Now, not yet, okay. All these things will come, and then you apply it in your life, you see it. Then he goes on to say, okay, in chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. The happiness will come. And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Right? Investment, right? Profits. We're always looking for investment. Wow, investment goes up, then people are, the shares go up, and people are very happy because that's only for a moment. The proceeds from profits, from the scriptures, from wisdom, far greater than anything of this world. She is more precious than rubies. Length of days is the right hand, left hand riches and honor. Right? She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. There will come this very special sense of happiness if you retain this kind of wisdom, right? Now, let's turn to Proverbs 3, verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Happy. Merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. A merry heart, right? A cheerful countenance. By the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken, right? Same. Look, Solomon, dismal, sorrow of the heart, his spirit is broken. Oh, all vanity, everything is vanity. He's upset with everything. All is vanity. Huh? But then on the other hand, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. When your heart is happy, when the heart is enlightened, constantly there will be a cheerful countenance. Right? Chapter 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. A good report, good news, makes the bones healthy. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. The light. The light that comes to your perspective, the light that comes through the Lamb of God, right? Matthew 5. When you have light, and the light, the way you see things, it rejoices the heart. Can you see how this important? Again, it's the interpretation of a thing. It's the way you interpret life, the way you look at life. Right? Then one last one, Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine. Huh? Every day, some of you deal with medicine. Huh? Some amount of relief. But when you have a merry heart, wow, it's better. It's like medicine, bringing joy to the person's heart. Verse 22. A broken spirit dries the bone. Right? Dries up a person. And so this guy, this past former pastor, broken spirit, dries the bone, literally killed him. What's the point? He's my age, 58. I didn't know that. 58 years old. I'm 58 this year. Right? Okay? Okay, we might as well turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 6, sorry. So in Matthew 6, we read, the lamb of the body is the eye. Verse 22. So in other words, the lamb of the body, the lamb, what is it that shines in your body? Your mind, your soul, still is a lamb. It's the eye. The eye is the perspective. Right? What shines in your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, is this lamb, the eye. Right? If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you, you think it's light, but it's actually darkness, how great is that darkness? Right? So the way you look at life is going to affect everything that is of your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, your actions. Your face is how you look. Right? Just now I gave you all a clue. I was smiling at you all. You know, they pick up the clue. Right, so the way you look at life, the lamb of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Can you see? And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to have a clear and healthy perspective of life. Your whole body will be full of light. And when you are full of light, then you will always have a cheerful countenance. What is it that makes a difference when you go into a store? It's when the person smiles at you. Right? The first thing, first impression is whether a person smiles. The first thing, you meet a person, the first impression is whether you are smiling at a person, whether you really mean it. Right? Today I went Grab driver and first thing he do was complain about our condo guard room. Then I was trying to tell him, you got to reverse out, you know, you come in one way, it's the same way, you got to go out the same way. I was trying to tell him, oh, you got to reverse. Then he wasn't listening. He said, yeah, yeah, I know, I know. Then he go one big round. They say, eh, where to go? I said, I was telling you from the very beginning, you go out the same way. After that, he kept quiet. Right? Smile. Learn this very important lesson because it's going to help you in time to come. It's the way you interpret things. You interpret it wrongly, then it's going to be negativity. But if you interpret it correctly, light will always shine through. Okay? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for today's lesson from your word. Thank you, Lord, about how wisdom, Lord, can actually bring about a cheerful countenance, a big smile on the face. The sternness is changed. So Lord, we pray that you will help us to learn how to interpret things correctly. We know it's not easy, but we will take the time to search for wisdom, to cry out for it, to apply it, to search for it like silver. And until we are able to understand the fear of the Lord and to understand the things of the knowledge of God, we pray, dear Father, that you will bring that light to our hearts and our soul. May this be a lifelong endeavor to fill our hearts and our life with so much more light, wisdom and light from your word, that it will affect the very way we live and serve you. We pray that we will constantly seek to have this sense of joy in our hearts that will bring forth this cheerful countenance. So bless us, Lord, as we give this offering to you. May we give this out of a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.